Blog Talk Radio.
Just stay.
right here, 'cause I know that you're near. I wanna stay right here. Here there's no room for fear.
Hello, this is Prolific Fire, and I am Prophetess Stacy. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to join me on tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord will truly be a blessing unto you tonight. The first song I played was I Belong to You. The second song was Stay Right Here, and both songs are by Ja'Kalen Carr. Before I get started, I want to let you know that the way the Lord works with me, He may give me the title of a message months ahead of time, along with the foundational scripture, and that's what happened tonight. I had no idea when God was preparing me for this message months ago when He gave me the title and the foundational scripture that this month would be Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and it's also Autism Awareness Month. Support both. support both. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, on tonight, God, I pray that you give me the strength, Lord God, to deliver this message, Lord God, the way that you gave it to me, God, that those that have been sexually assaulted, those that have been bullied, those that have been through anything that made them ashamed, whether it's a divorce or whatever, if they have been through anything that made them ashamed, Lord God, I thank you for giving me the strength, Lord God, to deliver this message, that it may be deliverance to them, that it may be encouragement to them, that it may be healing for their soul on tonight. In the name of Jesus, sit me down and use me mightily tonight. Amen. Well, to begin this message, we're going to recap from the message that aired on March the 20th. If you didn't hear it, you can always go to back to blogtalkradio.com/prolificfire and look up influencers. The title of the message was Influencers. And the foundational scripture from then was 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 10 through 12 from the Contemporary English Version. Tamar picked up the bread that she had made and brought it into Amnon's bedroom. But as she was taking it over to him, he grabbed her and said, "Come to bed with me." She answered, "No, please don't force me. This sort of thing isn't done in Israel. It's disgusting." And the foundational text for tonight, picking up in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 13 and 14 from the Amplified Classic Bible. Tamar asked, "And I, how can I rid myself of my shame? And you will be considered one of the stupid fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray you, speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." But Amnon had no interest in speaking to the king and making things right. Verse 14, "But he would not listen to her, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. He raped her." Amnon raped Tamar, who was his half-sister. "And I, how could I rid myself of my shame?" According to Juanita Ryan, shame is that terrible private feeling that something is wrong with us, that we are somehow defective as a person, that we are irreplaceable, that we are irreparably damaged, rather. That if anyone really knew what we were like, we would be rejected. A part of the experience of shame is the fear of being found out and exposed. We want to run and hide and protect ourselves from exposure to other people's judgment. Getting rid of the shame. That's the title of tonight's message. Getting rid of the shame. What we know for sure from observing the text is Tamar and Amnon had to have been brother and sister for at least 10 years or more before the unthinkable occurred. One unthinkable act and it shattered years of a bond between siblings, mother and daughter, between father and son, sisters, between brothers. One unthinkable act, and it left a wound in the soul, in the mind, in the emotions that wrestles with the reality of what happened. You're wondering why. Why did that happen? And like Tamar, you ask the question internally, how could I rid myself of my shame? You wonder, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Psalms 13 and 2 NIV. The Contemporary English Version says, how long must I be confused and miserable all day? Somebody, you wrestle constantly with thoughts of depression, and you feel your own heart filled with sorrow and shame is now your enemy. Confused and miserable, symptoms of the shame you're carrying. Confused and miserable, symptoms of the shame you're carrying. Like Tamar, you even refer to the shame as my shame. You even refer to the shame as my shame. You have given ownership to something that was never lawfully right for you to possess in the first place. You have given ownership to something that was never lawfully right for you to possess in the first place. Beloved, it doesn't matter what has been done to you. It doesn't matter what has been done to you or against you, or even what you have done. God would not have you be ashamed. Hear me tonight. God would not have you be ashamed. Shame in its severest form will have you feeling like you want to bury your head in the sand and no longer live. Shame in its severest form will have you feel like you want to bury your head in the sand and no longer live. But I decree and I declare over you the word of the Lord that says, you will not die. You will not die, but you will live and proclaim what the Lord has done. Psalms 118 and 17, NIV. God is putting an amplified speaker in somebody's mouth. God is putting an amplified speaker in somebody's mouth. After tonight, every time you open your mouth, you will boldly proclaim how the Lord has delivered you. No longer ashamed. Now when Jesus faced death by persecution, by crucifixion, we are told that he endured the cross and disregarded shame. We are told that he endured the cross and disregarded the shame. Hebrews 12 and 2, Amplified. Jesus endured the pain. He did not avoid the suffering. He endured the pain. He did not avoid the suffering. He went through it, but he rejected the shame. That's the important part. He rejected the shame. All the shame that others were attempting to heap on him had no power over him. All the shame that others were trying to heap on him, had no power over him. Jesus did not accept the shame. Others were trying to put on him because shame is a lie. He didn't accept the shame because shame is a lie. Whoever you are never less than. None of us is ever less than. None of us are unlovable, beyond repair, or worthless. You are not unlovable. You are not beyond repair, and you are not worthless. Beloved, let Jesus be your example of how to deal with hardships, the heartbreaks of this life. He suffered. You suffered, but unlike many of you under the sound of my voice tonight, he didn't accept the shame that tried to attach itself to him. Even after he was violated, physically and verbally abused, bullied, all for the sake of the cross he would bear, Matthew 27. Beloved, let Jesus be your example, and do not accept the shame. Do not accept the shame. Shame only comes as a result of something tragic, as a result of something embarrassing or humiliating happening to you. And it's only there to mask your self-worth. Second Samuel 13 opens up in verse 1, talking about how beautiful Tamar was. But after being sexually assaulted in verse 20 of the same chapter, Tamar's beauty has now been tainted. Closed in, she literally hid herself in her brother Absalom's home. Always sad and always lonely. That's what the text says. She was always sad after that, and she was always lonely. Contemporary English Version. The NIV describes Tamar as a desolate woman. Self-worth script. I can relate. I can definitely relate. It's taken me years to rebuild my self-worth and not hide. Years to be able to accept a compliment. Years to feel beautiful. Years to find any beauty in myself that I could accept or that I feel anybody else would want. So from time to time, when you see me post pictures of myself on social media or use the hashtag pretty female preacher, hear me, don't get it twisted. You don't know my story. Just ask Prophetess Pate, and she will tell you, when she first met me, and for a long time after meeting me, she couldn't get me to take a picture, y'all. And that's the truth. She couldn't get me to take a picture. I didn't want to take a picture or even look at a picture of myself. Self-worth script. My self-worth was script. like Tamar, my self-worth was script. I had big time issues with me. I had big time issues with me, and I know somebody can feel me on tonight because you got issues with yourself too. I had big time issues with me. You see, it's not so much what others do to us, but what we ourselves, as a result of the shame that attaches itself so unmercifully, so unforgiving. It's not so much what others do, but what we do to ourselves as a result of the shame. But it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. 1 Corinthians 15 and 10 and NIV. When I say the Lord, when I say thank you, Lord, for saving me, I tell you that the Lord had to really go deep with me. You have no idea how deep the blood of Jesus had to run. The blood of Jesus had to run across his mind, his will and emotions in the Garden of Gethsemane to deliver my mind, to deliver my will, to deliver my emotions. Luke 22 and 44. The blood had to run across his body on the cross to deliver my body. Isaiah 53 and 5. Somebody, it's a failed marriage. It's failed marriage after failed marriage that has made you ashamed. It's being so easily persuaded when it comes to the opposite sex that has made you ashamed. It's being so easily persuaded by the opposite sex that has made you ashamed. It's the things that people are saying about you that has made you ashamed. You're ashamed because what they're saying about you is the truth. Come on, beloved. You know I love you. If you've been tuning in to Prolific Fire for any time, you know I love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. What they're saying about you is true, and that's why you're ashamed. And you're trying to figure out in your own mind, how can I fight the truth? And like Tamar and I, how can I rid myself of my shame? Somebody else, you would have been the first person to graduate high school and to go on to college, but you dropped out. You quit for whatever reason. Now you can see all the things you don't know. And now you can see all the things that you don't know, that you should know, and it hurts. Every time your child comes to you for help with homework and you're not educated enough to help them, it hurts. And you feel the shame. And you feel ashamed because you dropped out, because you are a dropout. And guess what? I can relate to you too. I can relate to you as well. I dropped out of school. Just as I was about to enter high school. So I never had the whole high school experience, the football games, the prom night, dating my high school sweetheart, etc. I never had those experiences along with a valuable higher education. It was a chance to learn more. It was a chance to learn more, to be more, but I dropped out. That's right, Prophet Stacy. I dropped out. I dropped my chance at graduation and so many other things. I used to feel really ashamed because dropping out was my choice that I made. I even tried to lie about it. Yes, I did. I tried to lie about it when asked to cover up the fact that I have no high school to rep, but that was then. Looking back, I now believe dropping out of school just as I was about to enter high school was the best choice for me. Now, I wouldn't recommend that to any other 14-year-old or 15-year-old out there, but for me, it was the best choice. Somebody saying, how can you say that? Listen on, I'll tell you. Throughout those years, I was severely depressed and just going through the motions, making up imaginary friends just to survive. I was there. But I wasn't there. I was there, but I wasn't there, if anybody can understand that. I believe dropping out was the best choice for me. My life would have been totally different. It would have taken on a different route. I would have had a totally different lifestyle. I know this based on who I was attached to at the time. Looking at them now and looking at me, I know things would have been different. I wouldn't be on the air talking to you every Monday night, seeking to help you where you hurt, had I not dropped out. That's a revelation right there. I wouldn't be on this air talking to you every Monday night had I not been hurt. I wouldn't be on the air every Monday night seeking to help you where you hurt had I not dropped out, dropped my chance at some things, had I not myself been hurt. Fast forward to today, no longer ashamed. Fast forward to today, no longer ashamed. There is recovery after shame. Somebody, there is recovery after shame. I now am the proud owner of a GED, laugh out loud. I have a diploma in journalism, and I'm currently working towards a degree in biblical wisdom. But most of all, I'm not depressed, lonely, or sad anymore. No longer hiding, I am emotionally healthy. I love myself despite the shame that was forced upon me, labeled as me. I am Tamar. I am a dropout, but I'm also one that has been in the recovery room with God. Somebody, it happened, but it doesn't have to hold you or control you. You can recover from the shame, the humiliation, the embarrassment, the pain. Fight to recover. There's nothing like being in the recovery room. After surgery, after having been wounded, hurt. There's nothing like letting the healing begin. In the recovery room of life with God's help. Nothing like being in the recovery room with God. Hear me tonight. When God put that in my spirit, I could have ran around the room. There's nothing like being in the recovery room with God. Don't allow shame to continue to bully you out of your self-respect. Just because you were bullied in school, that doesn't mean you have to continue to reap the effects of it for the rest of your life. Fight to recover. The Bible talks about reaping what you have sown. Whether it's good or bad, there's a reaping for both. Galatians 6 and 7, NIV. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The New Living Translation says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Beloved, hear me when I tell you, somebody is already reaping what they did to you. Somebody is reaping the justice of God. But don't rejoice. That's important. Don't rejoice. Do not rejoice when you see this happening. The Bible tells us to not rejoice when your enemies fall. Do not rejoice when your enemies fall. Don't be happy when they stumble. For the Lord will be displeased with you and will turn his anger away from you. Proverbs 24 and 17 and 18, New Living Translation. As for me, I just look and I genuinely feel sorry for those who have done me wrong, who have hurt me, and I pray for them. And that's what you should do, pray for them. Don't be happy, don't rejoice, or the Lord will turn his anger away from them. Don't do that. You're going to see it happening, but don't rejoice about it. Now, the Bible tells us about Elisha, who was bullied by some kids. They called him baldhead. They made fun of him. As children and some childish adults do, they made fun of him being different from them. And what happened? It's right there in your Bible. What happened? Two she-bears came out and killed them. Read it for yourself, 2 Kings 2, 23 and 24 from the King James Version. Even in tonight's text, go back and read 2 Samuel 13 in its entirety, and you will see that after Abnon had raped his sister, Tamar, and kicked her out of the house, Two years later, Abnon ends up killed on the orders of his own brother, who was also Tamar's brother. He was the brother that had been forced to watch his beautiful sister become introverted, isolated in his home after what Abner had done to her. And enough just became too much. And enough just became too much. For those of you that feel enough has become too much, I want you to know tonight that God has a way of ridding you of the shame. God has a way. He does have a way of ridding you of the shame. Maybe it won't be at the cost of someone's life. Be prayerful that it won't be at the cost of someone's life. Be prayerful that it won't. But still, God has a way of silencing the effects of shame. You can hold your head up and look them in the eye, every one of them that tried to keep you bent over, crippled because of, and ashamed because of, every one of them that tried to keep you unhealed. You can look at them and give God the glory. Somebody, you can look at them even after what they tried to do to you and give God the glory. 10 through 13 from the Message Bible for that revelation. Again, that's Luke 13, 10 through 13, Message Bible. In this life, Jesus is our example of pain, trials, and tribulations, but yet grace and mercy and forgiveness and the strength to recover all. He's our example of pain. He's our example of trials and tribulations, but yet he's our example of grace and mercy and forgiveness and the strength to recover all, the strength to overcome all. And if the scripture says Jesus suffered but didn't accept the shame others were trying to put on him, but guess what? You don't have to accept the shame. Not from what people done to you, or if you were the one, you dropped out. You dropped your chances and things. Still, you don't have to be ashamed. Fight to recover. Hebrews 12:2-3 from the Message Bible says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it. One way he did it is Jesus had a consistent prayer life. One way he did it is Jesus had a consistent prayer life. You must have a consistent prayer life. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Luke 5:16. Keep your eyes on Jesus and don't lose sight of where you're headed. Your intended purpose in this life is still good. Your intended purpose in this life is still good. You can still achieve much, have much. You are not damaged goods. Somebody, you are not damaged goods. I don't care what happened to you. You are not damaged goods in any way, shape, or form. The pain and the shame has been a distraction. The pain and the shame has been a distraction. But don't let it be a subtraction. God wants to add to your life, beginning with healing, beginning with deliverance, beginning with total recovery, getting rid of the shame. Let him. Father God, flesh somebody's system of shame. That crippling, demonic, that's trying to get them to bow to depression, bow to isolation. Restore back to them the years they have lost, being ashamed of something that wasn't their fault. Restore their faith in you and in themselves. Crush the head of the enemy that's trying to keep them thinking like a victim, when they are victorious. Yes, they are victorious in all things, even this, even now. Touch that one that is laying prostrate before you. They're laying prostrate before you, Father, saying, Lord, if you don't help me, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, if you don't help me, I don't know what I'm going to do. Help them, Lord. And, Father, help that one that's struggling to stay saved, that one that wants to be saved, have a real relationship with you and be in right standing with you, but the world is pulling on them so hard. Help them. Meet somebody, Father, in the recovery room tonight and heal what hurts. In Jesus' name, amen. So be it. God says, because your shame was double, and they cried out, disgrace is their portion. Therefore, they will possess double in their land and eternal joy. You will have double for everything that you've been through, and you will have eternal joy, joy that does not end. I'm not talking about happiness, because happiness depends on circumstance, but you will have eternal joy, joy that does not end. They'll look at you and say, everything she's been through, everything he's been through, why is she still full of joy? Why is he still full of joy? That's because it's eternal. There's Isaiah 61:7 from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. At this time, this concludes the message. At this time, if there's anybody on the phone line and you desire prayer, press 1 at this time, and I will be glad, honored to pray with you. Once again, thank you, everybody, for taking the time to join. If you're on the phone line and desire prayer, press 1, and I would be glad to pray with you. If not, moving on, I'd like to let you know that if anything occurs throughout the week, you can always contact me for prayer or private Bible-based consultation by calling or texting 865-408-8690. That's 865-408-8690. Or you can email prolificfire@gmail.com. Visit the ministry's website, visit prolificfireministry.com. There you'll find more about salvation and other things. Follow me on social media. You can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Periscope at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophetess Stacy, and like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Prayer with my sister in ministry. I want each of you to join my sister in ministry for prayer every Friday night, 7 Eastern, 6 Central, 4 Pacific. There's 7 Eastern, 6 Central, 4 Pacific every Friday night. Faith on the Line with Prophetess Pate. It's a powerful time in prayer. You should join. You can join by calling 712-451-0011. That's 712-451-0011. Access code 474723. Or you can Periscope in at Natasha C. Pate. Pate is P-A-T-E. Natasha C. Pate 24. Also, join me back here, right back here on Prolific Fire next Monday, same time, same place. And we will be talking about soul ties. And just to give you a heads up, no, we will not be talking about relationships concerning soul ties for his boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife. None of that kind of stuff. God gave me a new revelation about soul ties. So it's not based on relationships, not this time. But we're going to be talking about soul ties. The message is entitled, That Noose Around Your Neck. Until then, I love each of you. Thank you for joining. Until next Monday, God bless you. Have a good night.